You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It is 6 minutes after six right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. Hopefully your Thursday is off to a great start. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. Glad you're here. I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved in the show at any point this morning, we'd love to hear from you, especially if you were involved in any more storm activity last night. The number, of course, is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Man, things got dicey over in the Milwaukee area last night. Still a lot of flooding up in the northern parts of the state. This is going to be going on for a while.
It is. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of cleanup that's going to be happening. You've seen communities have to evacuate certain areas, certain people, some communities just in general, if they're right along the river, which leads to the fact that the governor declared a state of emergency in response to all of this flooding yesterday. Governor Evers signed executive order number 289. That sounds very official, declaring that state of emergency as communities across the state are experiencing and really just trying to recover from severe storms, the power outages, the record rainfall, the flooding, all of it expected to continue throughout the week. Now, I believe I was looking at the forecast earlier. Did I actually see like a little sun icon somewhere on the forecast? I got a little excited. I was like, ooh, it's not a rain cloud with thunder and lightning bolts coming out of it.
Yeah, Madison this morning, it's supposed to be, well, it's supposed to be sunny all day. So no rain in the forecast for the Madison area.
It is certainly not sunny right now.
Still a flood watch going on. It's going to be about 68 today. But then here's the good news. Friday and Saturday. So tomorrow and Saturday, more rain in the area.
Yeah. Hopefully these clouds, because right now in Madison, it is very cloudy. It looks like it could actually rain again. Hopefully those are on the way out, and then we start seeing some of that sunshine. And I think that's what most communities are hoping for right now. If you're anywhere along the rivers, if you're in Milwaukee, I think at this point you're just hoping for a little bit of sunshine so you get a reprieve, maybe like a couple days to just catch up. Perhaps because
well,
it's been nonstop.
Well, at least you can survey the damage. You can see what's happening. And the governor, as you mentioned, with the state of emergency, he's going to keep touring all over the state to see. It's going to be interesting if they have to ask for FEMA's help and money, because it's been very slow coming to any state that is not a fully red state. So
yes, and
see how the government helps us.
Wisconsin still hasn't seen money for the flooding in Milwaukee last year, in August of last year. That's been kind of an ongoing battle as far as getting that money, because now the state and the community itself and the county are having to help with those recovery efforts. And we're talking millions of dollars that have been lost in that recovery effort. So hopefully, now here's the thing too, Mark Wayne Mullen, now in charge of DHS, has basically backed off a lot of Kristi Noem's policies on who could get money, how it was dispersed, the amount. And so maybe perhaps that's the good news. We'll keep our fingers crossed that any state, Wisconsin, otherwise gets what they need in these recovery periods.
I mean, even in last year in Asheville and all the flooding all over down in everywhere. But yeah, she had decided that if it was over $100,000, she had to personally sign off on it, which
that's like a house.
Everything. Yeah, that's
like one house.
Where can you get a house for $100,000?
I don't know. I
wish. Like, if you find it, let me know, because I'll be doing the show from there.
It's like one property or half a property. I don't know, but $100,000 is
nothing.
A crazy low amount of money when you're talking about the types of destruction that some of these natural disasters actually bring. I believe in Milwaukee County, they're asking for about $26 million to aid in the recovery for homeowners, businesses, the roads, the infrastructure, because there was so much damage last year during that flooding period.
Well, and now seeing all the footage coming out of that area from
it's not good.
From basically the state line up through Milwaukee and up north toward Port Washington and everything, it is they're going to need a lot more because things got really, really crazy again last night. And we're going to talk about this later, but who builds a dome stadium that's not waterproof and weatherproof? Don't shake your head at me.
No, I wasn't going to defend anybody.
Oh, no. Parker was ready to jump in. This is not a blast. This has nothing to do with fandom
it's dumb.
Or anything. What it is if you build a dome, there's a reason you've built a dome. Yeah. And I dig the retractable roof. I think it looks cool. It was the first of its kind.
It's only cool, if it actually works when it's closed.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We might talk about this more later, maybe not. But it wasn't designed to be waterproof or whether. Then what's the point?
Yeah.
To be fair, I think it takes this much rain for it to be a problem. To be fair,
I don't care. It did it. It's done it before. This wasn't the first time. It's leaked in the past. It's been plagued with leaking.
We were at a game last year, and it was a light rain. And if you were in certain areas of the stadium, you might as well have been outside.
Really?
Because it was leaking on people, and I was like, "How is there a
puddle in center field on the warning track?"
I saw it. I know that, but it was like torrential downpour.
But you know where else has torrential downpour? Lucas Oil Field, most other domed stadiums. Where the rain doesn't come in. You've never been to Fiserv Forum during a Bucks game and went, it's leaking on me, have you? No. You've never been with Kohl Center? We were in there for a beautiful hockey game. Didn't rain on us there. The roof built to do what roofs do.
It would have been snow.
The elements didn't get in is the point, smartypants. And you can try to be a homer all you want. And again, this is not a blast on the Brewers. It's just...
It doesn't make
a design
a lot of
flaw
sense.
That somebody should have brought up at the beginning. Why am I the only person in the world with common sense? Why am I the only one who looks at a thing and goes, hey, this is really cool. We're gonna be able to close it to keep rain and stuff out, right? Well, yes and no. You'll be able to close it.
It's just not going to keep anything
is iffy.
Out.
It might.
It could.
Unless it really rains. Mostly. But then if it really rains... It's not.
Bring your umbrella.
Let me jump in.
Here comes another apologist.
Let's Frank get.
The Bears' new stadium in Hammond, Indiana will be weatherproof. Okay.
Good. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I don't know if Frank was trying to stir the pot. I'm like, good, okay, fine. I don't have to sit out in sub-zero temperatures to watch a game anymore. I'm in.
Am I spoiled?
Yes.
I just like that Frank put Bears in Hammond, Indiana as a Packers fan. That's all I'm going to say. But we'll digress from that comment.
What's funny is even though it's in another state, it's closer than the other locations that are being proposed to the city. So if you're looking from... Chicago as the epicenter.
For you.
For a lot of people, Frank, everybody doesn't live on the north side.
See, north siders and south siders are going to hate each other even more.
There's reasons. And I've lived on both, so I have a unique perspective.
But your stadium will probably be waterproof, so you automatically win.
We win.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just couldn't believe it.
It was...
Like that would have been the thing. And right in all the stories I'm reading, it says it was not designed to keep out rain. Then what are we doing? What is the point? Why don't you just put a colander over the top or one of those shade screens like they do out at a picnic? And yeah, the rain will come through, but it's shady. I don't care. I'm still wet.
But it's not shady.
No, because there's a lot of windows
when
in there.
The dome is
it's like a magnifying glass.
It is. When it's closed, it's still not shady in there, and it doesn't actually get you anything. And obviously now you can be wet when it's closed too. So it doesn't really matter.
Oh my God. And then imagine trying to leave because Brewer Boulevard was all flooded. So everybody had to try to leave to the north. They could not even live. It was like, and that's not the Brewer's fault. It's an engineering fault when you build a road that dips so much. That,
it was very dramatic watching the footage come out of Milwaukee last night in the middle of that flooding, because there were water rescues. They had to do water rescues last night. People were stranded.
Jamie, can I please? Maybe I'm just got up on the wrong side of the bed.
Okay.
If you see a flooded road and you drive into it, you wait till it dries out. We're not coming to get you.
Turn around, don't drown is normally the way that should go.
Ooh, I've never heard that, but I like.
That's a storm
like
chaser
that
thing. That's a storm
it's
chaser
very
thing.
Nice.
Turn around, don't drown. That is
Turn
what
around,
storm
don't
chasers
drown.
Say.
Listen, if it's good enough for storm chasers, it should be good enough for anybody with, again, any sort of common sense.
Yeah.
I'm not driving one of Tommy Bartlett's old duck boats. I am driving a Honda or a Prius, or even in my big monster four-wheeler pickup truck.
Well, that's just it. Did people think it was more shallow than it was, that they thought they could get through because it was dark? Or did I'm not sure what was happening.
I will give
it was
the
dramatic.
First I will give the first person that excuse. First person going through, I don't know how deep it is. Second, third, fourth, and fifth, you're an idiot. And I know that's going to, please don't get mad. But if you see deep water and other cars stuck in there,
probably turn around.
You're probably not the brightest bulb. If you just, my Prius is going to make it through.
Do you think,
seriously?
Is that like, I feel like that's a sheep mentality that we have, right? Because, they drove in it, they're stuck, but I'm going to keep going as well. No. What you should do is see what is going wrong in front of you. And then, again, with the old adage, turn around, don't drown, and then find a different way back.
And, Jamie, let's be honest, where are sheep's led?
Right off the cliff.
To slaughter. And water, obviously.
Yes.
I guess I'm just in a mood today because this, I'm like, nobody makes any sense. Nobody thinks things through.
No, there was a lot.
Let's build a dome that'll leak. Let's drive through water even though we see other cars stranded there.
There was a lot of drama in Milwaukee last night. We're going to talk about it later this morning at 8:30.
Yeah.
Our WAUK reporter is going to join us, Stu Waddles. He'll give us the latest because I know Kenosha, Racine last night, they also had dramatic weather. And, here in Madison, it was another one of those nights where you were just sitting there and all of a sudden you heard that rumble of thunder in the distance. And within about 5 minutes, it was just a complete downpour. The winds picked up again and no warnings attached to it last night. But of course, we saw a lot more rain in Madison as well. And so if you're listening this morning in any of these portions of the state, we wish you the best. I know that there are emergency situations at the county level too. There's a lot of sandbagging that's happening. There are crews in certain areas that are being set up. They've got free sandbagging areas in some areas, in some of these towns that are being affected along rivers. So, I hate seeing flooding, right? Because there's always so
much. Flooding's the worst.
There's always, you can always deal with storm damage, but when it's flooding, it just permeates and penetrates everything around it. And
it takes a long time for the water to recede.
Yes.
That's the other thing.
So
it's
you
not
never
like,
get to really assess, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to find things forever. Just be smart. Be careful. Be smart.
Turn
this
around,
time,
don't
do as
drown.
I say. I usually say I can't affect people's mind. If you see water, turn around, don't drown. That Jamie gave the best advice. And if you do, be prepared to sit. That's all you got. Hey, have you ever relocated for a job? Well, a lot of people in Wisconsin may have to. We'll talk about that after this. It is Daybreak, and this is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. And of course, this is Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Have you ever relocated for a job? Or on the flip side, has your company moved and they said, well, you can move with us and keep your job, and you just went, No, where I live is more important than this job. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm asking this because, you know, the administration has been cutting a lot of benefits and money for national parks and the Forest Service because the outdoors are just one big oil field and we don't need national parks and things. A union leader representing federal Forest Service employees in Wisconsin says workers may have to move because of the Trump administration's plan to shutter regional offices. The Forest Service announced that the agency is moving its headquarters to Salt Lake City and closing 9 regional offices, including the one in Milwaukee. Administrative and technical support people in those offices are going to shift to 6 operational service centers, one of which is going to be located here in Madison. The overhaul will also include 15 state directors to oversee operations in one or more states. While the president of the union said that restructuring mostly affects Milwaukee area employees, but about 50 of those may be affected and they can continue working, Jamie, but they've got to relocate. They've got to move. So uproot your whole family because the government has decided we're going to consolidate the Forest Service.
Well, is the federal government going to help pay for those costs and offset them? Because moving across the country is not exactly cheap. That's the question I guess I would have in all of this. And here's the thing. We have already lost so many federal workers in this state, about 2,400 total. And so now we're potentially adding more onto that, seeing more closures of our federal offices. So I think that's also a bigger conversation in all of this. But at the same time, asking people to uproot just so they can keep their jobs with absolutely no sort of support to do so is. That's a bold move, and one that I would not expect from this particular government. I mean, these are the types of things that they do. They make situations impossibly hard for people all the time. But I mean, we've had to relocate for jobs all the time, and we have an economy right now that jobs aren't really plentiful, right? And that's
jobs
the other thing
plentiful.
I think about.
Rents are expensive. Housing is expensive. Also, if you have a family and you've lived in an area for a while, now you've got to look at schools and kids and everything else. And I know it sounds like, oh, boo-hoo, people have to move. They still have a job. But you have to look at cost of living. You have to look at everything. And then you also have to look at, well, if they're making these cuts now,
right?
Are we going to move? And then in another year, if this administration is still in place, are they going to get rid of the whole Forest Service anyway? There are 100 employees just of the Forest Service have already been cut in Wisconsin over the last year. So it's one of those jobs, kind of like this job, where you're never secure. You never really know how long you're going to be there.
Right. I mean, Wisconsin has already gone from about 31,000 federal jobs down to about 28,000 federal jobs just since this administration took over a year ago. We're literally just over a year ago, this state has already seen a loss of about 2,000 jobs or more, which that's not an insignificant number of people who are unemployed or had to go find other jobs or had to decide to retire or were forced out because of this administration. And when you think about cuts to our forestry services as well, I mean, that's kind of a backbone of the economy here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so that's a little off-putting for me as well. I mean, that's tourism. Logging is a huge industry in certain parts of this state. Outdoor recreation. Small businesses are built off of those things. Northern Wisconsin, I think of Northern Wisconsin especially because they depend on those forests. And now we're looking at services that, you know, are going to be cut to the point where is anybody going to be around to help take care of those or be facilitating what brings people to the area because of the Forest Service?
Well, we're getting 31 research centers are going to be cut down, but they're going to be gone. Mm. But the ones in Rhinelander and Madison are going to stay. So that should be good.
That's good.
And the Shequamagon Nicolet National Forest, those 235 employees would not be affected either by this. So some good news, but if you work for the Forest Service in Milwaukee, you're going to be on the hook.
Yeah. And this is a pattern that we've seen over and over from this administration, and they continually ask people to make very hard decisions in the name of doing what benefits essentially their donors and their pocketbooks, right? Because these big companies...
Well, sure. Do you want to eat or do you want to take your medicine?
And these companies, the companies that donate to this Republican Party, let's just say... Let's be honest about what's happening. They want more land to be able to do more things like drilling, mining, fracking. They would love to be able to, resurrect some of those coal plants and all of that. And they need more land to do those things.
Coal is never coming
back. No, it's not.
He keeps talking about coal miners, and coal is not coming back.
But he keeps placating to the people who own those facilities who continue to donate to him, and you're right, it's not. Because a lot of places have gone to a cleaner energy source. It's not coming back what they donate, and then this administration continues to placate to those donors, which is why you're starting to see some of the things like our forestry, our outdoor services being affected by this federal government. I mean, they want to allow hunting on national forest lands.
Animals are messy. Why do you want animals roaming around? They just come in, they eat your food. Bears are going to take your groceries. I've seen them take picnic baskets. I don't need bears and things. We got to just hunt them all. Clear it out. Only white men should be allowed on the planet. All right. Do you support banning members of Congress from trading stocks? Why? Why not? Let us know. 855-75-CIVIC. A local guy still making a ton of money with those stocks.
Speaking of money.
Not a surprise at all. Well, it's Daybreak. I'm Brian, she's Jamie. This is the Civic Review.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. It's 6:35 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. And if you happen to be in Wausau listening on WXCO or in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap or in La Crosse on WLCX, we are glad that you decided to join us this morning. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Do you support banning members of Congress from trading stocks? Why? Why not? That's what we're wondering. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We talk about this all the time, and this is not a partisan issue.
No.
Because you've got people on both sides of the aisle who seem to be making a lot of money. And I think it would also, we heard it that Pete Hegseth's broker bought a lot of military stocks right before the war started, and somehow other people are making a lot of money on trades and bets that seem to have inside information. And this is a problem that has been going on for a while and it's been debated for a while. Well, a 2023 University of Maryland study surveyed about 3,000 registered voters. It showed that most Americans support banning members of Congress and their families from trading stocks in individual companies. So the claim is, and the worry is, as I've kind of mentioned, that lawmakers are privy to information that the general public may not have. Like, hey, we're starting a war in about 27 minutes, so why don't you buy up all the military stock you can? Now, I'm not casting aspersions at one side or another, but of course I am. But so that's happening. And listen, I know there's Republicans who go, what about Nancy Pelosi making all this? Yes, she's included too. She's a member of Congress. I would say no, you don't get to do this. And no, you don't get to use third parties. You don't get to profit from any sort of stock move while you are in office. That should be it.
Yeah.
That should be it. The Stock Act, a federal law passed in 2012, requires members of Congress to disclose their trades within about 30 days of the purchase or the sale of stock. But the penalty for filing a disclosure late is $200. So if I've made, I don't know, let's say a couple million dollars on a stock trade, I'm going to report it whenever, and I'm just going to peel off the $200, set that on fire, and then send you another $200.
That's like a drop in the bucket if you've made that kind of money, right? It's like spitting into the wind. They don't care. They're going to pull that out with their credit card, be like, okay, here's my fine. Let's move on. This is a
$200 is bottle service at a really bad Washington, D.C. club.
This is a topic that actually makes my hair just go straight into flames because
there's a reason we brought this up, Jamie. So
yes, Representative Tony Weed. He, of course, represents Wisconsin's 8th District, and he is a freshman congressman elected just a couple years ago, 2024. He's actually no stranger, Brian, to stock trading. In fact, the Republican represents the northeastern portion of the state, and his investment activity consistently outpaces Wisconsin's other congressional representatives. No other representatives, in fact, among Wisconsin's U.S. House members. So we're talking Pocan, right. Gwen Moore, Fitzgerald, Derek Van Orden, Glenn Grothman, Brian Stile, and Tom Tiffany have filed periodic transaction reports in the last year. But you've got Tony Weed. He's a businessman man from De Pere. He was elected to his seat by a wide margin a couple of years ago. He formerly owned a gas station chain in the Green Bay area, and he has said publicly that he plans to seek re-election. He recently reported buying between $760,000 and $1.6 million in stock between February 3rd and February 19th. That is according to an analysis done by the Badger Project. Now, and this is all is public information, by the way, which is why you can find all of this out for yourself. The disclosure laws only require that members report ranges. They don't have to even give you exact values. So members of Congress are periodically required to file reports with the clerk of the House about 45 days after they, their spouse, or their dependent children buy or sell some sort of financial asset worth more than $1,000. Weed's most recent report filed in March is 5 pages long and lists 25 separate transactions. His largest single transaction was a purchase of between $500,000 and $1 million in U.S. Treasury bills, which is a low-risk, low-reward investment.
That's also quite a range, Jamie. That is, I love that. I love that they only have to give a range. The difference between 500,000 and a million, Parker, you're a young man with a quick mind. Correct my math. That's about a half a million, give or take.
I do believe you're spot on there, Brian.
Thank you. That is, math, not my strong suit. It's amazing.
This is appalling, actually. And you should be. This is why my hair is on fire over this subject.
Yes. Why is your hair on fire?
Because the rest of us are not in the same rooms. We are not given the same information. And when we are sitting here as voters, as constituents, and everybody is trying to just pay their energy bill, they're trying to make ends meet with groceries, pay their house payments, pay their rents. And we've got people representing us in Congress, both sides of the aisle. $200 if I, have a $1.6 million transaction and 25 pages of them at that. What is happening? It is one of those subjects that all of us, I don't care how you vote, you should want more from your elected representatives. You should expect more from them, and not in the way of money, because they're making plenty off this.
Don't we want our representatives to be better than us? To have more going for them.
No, they should be like this so they know what we all have to live like, so that the laws that they pass actually make sense for everybody, not just for a few.
Interesting. Interesting concept that they relate to their
constituents. Rose-colored glasses, Pollyanna. It's
no,
fine.
No. There's nothing. No, you're not hoping for something else. You're just,
this is nuts to
look at this and go, one, I get it. You're rich. You were rich to begin with your chain of gas stations. Good for you for being a businessman and making all this money. There comes a point where, though, even if you're not doing anything wrong, even if let's say everything is above board, and I'm not just talking about weed. I'm talking about everybody in Congress. Let's just say your broker is making moves. Talk about Pollyanna. And everything's above board. You're not using any of the crucial information that you have access to that the rest of the world does not know. For example, most of us didn't know we were going to start a war because there was no reason to start a war, so we didn't know. Now, I'm going to allege, and I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that Pete Hegseth did use classified personal information to make these stock purchases an hour or so before the war started. There's no other, nobody's that lucky.
We saw this during COVID, right? This was a thing that was happening during COVID too, if you want to go back, because I know this current president.
It was 2020, Jamie. I don't like to think that far back.
This current administration likes to go back to 2020 all the time. All right. So I am too. So we saw this during COVID. When Congress was making trillion-dollar decisions, there were dozens of lawmakers, both parties, we'll point that out again, that were had invested in companies tied directly to the pandemic response. So we're talking about companies like Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and even Moderna. At least 13 senators and 35 House members held shares in Johnson & Johnson. At least 11 senators and 34 House members had stock in Pfizer, and some even had Moderna. So at the same time, Congress was passing nearly $6 trillion in relief bills and billions more for vaccine development. Even if every single one of those trades was technically legal, obviously there's a problem. You also had Congress members all of a sudden putting money into face masks and ventilators and those full suits that they would have to wear in the hospitals.
Jamie, do we know if they were never interested in those kind of things before? Maybe those were sound investments in 2018 and they just hadn't gotten around to them yet.
Why would they
be able to just make these decisions?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say because they were in the room and knew the information and they were able to then go back and make these choices to invest. And if you or I did that, right, and we use that sort of information from our jobs to make money, we're either going to be fired, maybe even worse, because in some cases that could look a little bit like light insider trading. And so, but we're $200 fine for our elected representatives to take that information and do exactly what you and I would be fired for doing.
Well, we wouldn't only just be fired, we'd go to jail, probably. You know, you, me, Martha Stewart, everybody, we're all going to jail. Now, I noticed you ran down a list of Wisconsin legislators. Mm-hmm. Who did not make as much as weed.
Yeah.
You left one name off that list.
Oh, yes. Let's go there.
Our man Rojo. You did not mention Ron Johnson.
I'm talking Where about does, Rojo.
Because now, weed last year, they did a thing. His disclosure, somewhere, again, the range, between 6 and 13 million.
Mm-hmm.
Another giant range. But, okay, that's all they had to do. I might make $6 million. I might make $13 million. I might make $1 billion.
Oh, but this is so good because Ron Johnson, who has millions in commercial real estate and stocks, is the only member of Wisconsin's delegation in Washington to actually top weed. Johnson reported assets ranging, are you ready for this number? If you've got coffee in your mouth, folks, quick swallow. $17 million to $81 million in 2025 alone.
All right, I'm going to say this. If I'm a person who makes $81 million, I laugh at somebody making $17 million. That's not a range that you get to put together. You know, oh, I'm a millionaire too. What, was 17? Talk to me when you have 81. Where are you, Ronnie?
What are these ranges? I don't understand these ranges. At least have them incremental by tens of millions of dollars, like 1 to 10, 10 to 20, whatever.
Or at least make it so blatantly obvious. I could make $17 million. I could have made $300 billion.
Yeah.
That's the range. I made somewhere between there. Actually, I made $17 million in one, but the range, I like to put the range in there so people are already thinking, wow, he has $300 billion? That's crazy.
We've got some people chiming in over on our YouTube chat this morning. Alicia for Wisconsin says that she 100% supports banning anyone who makes policy and laws from buying and trading stock. Also goes on to say that she would like to point out that Weed's predecessor, Gallagher, didn't, from what she's checked out, didn't do this kind of trading while in Congress. So we appreciate those comments. If you want to chime in this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. At the end
now,
of the
in fairness, Jamie, we should say this again was from the Badger Project analysis. And Weed's staff sent an email to the Badger Project in January, and they said that the congressman's trades are solely managed by an independent financial advisor and that Weed complies with all ethics laws and guidelines. Anybody who uses a financial advisor, they're independent. Unless you're doing
So he has no say?
But that doesn't mean you don't communicate with your financial advisor?
He has no say, and so he's not calling and be like, hey, I just got out of this meeting, and you'll never guess what I... That's happening. That's happening on both sides of the aisle, by the way.
Or you just, hey, have we ever thought of getting into, missile guidance systems?
You should go check that out for me.
I feel it.
Hint, hint, kind of thing. Wink, wink.
Look into that. See what's going on. You know, masks might make a comeback, not just for Halloween. A lot of hospitals use them. Maybe that's the way we...
You should go check out those medical grade ones. Again, nudge, nudge kind of thing. At the end of the day, as voters, we have the right to know if the decisions being made by our representatives, like Tony Weed, like Ron Johnson, are being made for the public good or for their personal portfolio. Because we don't get those choices as voters.
Yeah, and I don't get to tell the IRS I made a range.
They want to know.
Yesterday, my tax return headed down to the penny. Exactly right. Conservative groups are up in arms again for something they should just mind their own business about. We'll talk about it after this on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. We hope you are having a great morning. Hopefully the weather in your area is sunny today and areas can start drying out because, boy, oh boy, it's been wet. And we're going to talk more about that throughout the morning and talk about the flooding and weather situation throughout the state. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and if you want to share how things are where you're at, if you got floods, if you escaped the storms and you were fortunate, whatever's going on in your area, you can always touch base with us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Two conservative groups have once again decided that they need to villainize a group of citizenry, especially children that are in the LGBTQ plus community. Now, you may recall last week there was a Supreme Court decision that upheld conversion therapy in Colorado because of a free speech decision by the Supreme Court. Saying if you're not familiar with conversion therapy, it's basically you take a kid who identifies in the LGBTQ community and you, quote unquote, have talk therapy with them to convince them that they are not gay, they are not trans, they're not bi, whatever, however they're identifying, whatever they're feeling, whoever they are, you're trying to convince them otherwise. Well, so that passed in Colorado. Now these conservative groups here in Wisconsin are like, hey, wait a minute, we're going to take legal action against a state administrative rule that prohibits so-called conversion therapy for LGBTQ children here if the rule is not repealed following that Supreme Court decision last month striking down the Colorado law. Officials with Governor Evers' office have said the March 31st ruling from the nation's highest court doesn't apply in Wisconsin because, unlike Colorado and more than 20 other states with similar laws, Wisconsin's ban is part of an administrative rule that classifies conversion therapy or intervention by a licensed marriage and family therapist, counselor, or social worker to try to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity as unprofessional conduct. So the governor and the state of Wisconsin and these other states are saying this is not a free speech issue. This is a professional medical issue, and so too bad. Well, Wisconsin Family Action and Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty have called for the rule to be rescinded. And Jamie, we're all familiar with Wisconsin Law and Liberty.
Yeah. They're actually suing La Crosse right now over the city's ordinance that bars conversion therapy. The case has been pending before the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Wisconsin for more than 3 years. And to be clear, the Supreme Court sided with the Christian counselor in an 8-1 order. So even the liberal-leaning justices thought that free speech had been that free speech had been affected in this particular case, and I think the law raises the question of free speech concerns, and the judges at that point in time agreed and sent it back to the lower courts to decide if it meets any sort of legal standard that few laws pass. I do find it interesting, though, when we talk about these types of cases and these types of groups, that they're conservative groups who are pushing to overturn this ban, saying that it violates free speech. Free speech obviously matters. It's the first Constitution, first part of the Constitution, First Amendment, I should say, of the Constitution. There we go. Words will come to me. But these groups are arguing for free speech while going to court to remove protections that prevent harm to minors. And to me, that's when it starts getting a little hypocritical, right? Because at the same time that these groups in the Supreme Court are saying, oh, these laws ban talk therapy, it violates the First Amendment, they're also stepping into someone else's life, especially the private life of a young person, and saying, we should be allowed to change who you are. That's not just a speech at that point. That's a complete intervention of the whole person. And that's completely trying to change somebody's mind. And it just seems hypocritical to scream about free speech while you're essentially not allowing someone to have their voice. It's appalling to me. It's gross to me. And I hate that we even have to talk about cases like this and groups like this who.
Yeah, but we have to so that people know what's out there. Because
I know.
The people who want to control us the most are the ones who, as you said, are all for smaller government. We don't want to be involved. Government should be hands off. And yet when it comes to people's gender or their sex life or anything else or women's bodies, they have to be involved. And you don't have to understand what an LGBTQ plus child or young adult or a grown adult is going through. You don't have to understand that, but you don't have to also get involved and try to stop them from being who they are. It's not up to you. It's not your business. And
yeah,
it's not. We have rules in place to prevent these kind of things, because if you look back historically, these kind of conversion camps are very, very dangerous. They led to suicides.
Yes.
They led to deaths. They led to all kinds of things, because being gay or being anywhere in that group is not a choice. And I, you know, oh, what are you, crazy liberal? No, I'm just an empathetic guy who has gay friends.
Right.
And trust me, I'm guessing most people would not choose a life that is, it's much easier now than it used to be.
Sure.
But it's still not, well, look, we have to talk about this story. So it's still not.
It's not great
completely,
yet.
It's not great. Who would choose a harder path if it's not who they really are?
I mean, and as you rightly point out, this is a bigger pattern that we're starting to see, because these groups are literally trying to push their values through the courts and saying that their interpretation of rights should override any sort of protection that's put in place for others. Free speech is one thing, but when you're using that argument to literally justify practices that can cause harm, as you rightly point out, Brian, especially to kids, that's where we have to look deeper into the conversation and about what's happening and how we're starting to see things change in a drastic, dangerous direction.
Well, for a party in a group that says the Pope should stay in his lane, maybe they should take their own advice. All right, after the news, we'll have some headlines, we'll have some stuff you need to know, and a whole lot more here on Daybreak. I'm Brian Newton.
It's 6:59 on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.